Hi, my name is Valerie Vetter and a big welcome to Animal Talk on today's programme, the endangered old Irish feral goats of the West. A very unusual story, very interesting things are happening, including a DNA study to talk about the plight of the goats and that recent amazing landmark DNA study on the herd. I have on the line Maeve Foran, who's conservation officer with the Old Irish Goat Society. Maeve, thanks so much for coming on today.
Thank you, Valerie. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. This is a very unusual scenario. I didn't even realise that we had feral goats. And not only feral goats, but these goats go back quite a ways. Could you explain a bit about the Old Irish Goat Society, what it is and how it got started?
Of course. The Old Irish Goat Society are a voluntary, community-led group based in Mulrani Environmental Centre, County Mayo. My own work with the society is funded through the County Mayo Foundation, which enables charitable donations from the US, but other than that, it's an entirely voluntary group. And it was first established in the Burren, actually, because of the significant proportion of feral goats there and the old Irish goats that might reside within them. But sadly, due to a lack of resources, all that work really only accumulated into a plea for any information on old Irish goats. And this plea was published in the Heritage Outlook magazine. And thankfully, that was picked up here in Mulrani in 2011. And the society was formed from there.
And what are the old Irish goats? Or who are they? I don't want to be kind of, you know.
Yeah, well, I'm happy to introduce you. They are Ireland's native breed of goat and the only breed of goat of Ireland's history. The old Irish goat arrived here first in the Neolithic era, and being a landrace breed, it adapted to the landscape over time. And this is very noticeable in their appearance. You know, they are an almost diminutive, quite square, cobby, sturdy animal. And they have small ears that protect against frostbite, which are held in a pricked position. And they have big stomachs to digest nutritionally poor forage. Rough, oily coats that act as a natural patch and an undercoat of cashmere. And a dished face and impressive horns. And we often look at them standing majestically on the mountainside and comment on what a distinct regal image they have, you know, with their long beard and quiff and their flamboyant horns that resemble a crown. They're a beautiful animal.
I didn't realise that they date back so far. Neolithic.
Right. Yes. They really, I suppose it's the early Mesolithic, to be exact, was when they first arrived.
Wow.
And since then, they've been an intrinsic part of our heritage. And they really epitomize Ireland's impoverished pastoral history. They were known historically as the poor man's cow.
Oh. And wow.
Yeah. And it's literally every part of them was used. Their fats, hair, cashmere, their hide, skins, horns, milk, meat, literally everything was all utilized. And I suppose due to them being a resilient, low-maintenance, small-holders animal, they were the ideal animal to support our earliest settlers and indeed entire village communities throughout our history, including Irish people's ancestors in famine times. It was actually said that any village that had access to fish and goats during the famine had a much greater chance of survival.
So that's a big change to today, in that they, I've seen the pictures online and from what you describe, they look very different from the goats that you see now on farms and people that have, you know, they make goat's milk and things like this. How did they fall out of favour? Because they sound like magnificent animals.
They are. I suppose it's due to many reasons that begun with changes in agriculture, such as the intensification that came with the agricultural revolution and the subsequent importation of other goat breeds into Ireland from the early 1900s. Before that, there had been a documented 1/3 of a million in the country. But, you know, our national survey now would suggest that we're just down to a few hundred in the whole country.
That's a vast difference. I mean, that's kind of extinction level, isn't it?
Absolutely. They're on the very brink of extinction. And it's, I suppose, that was the root of the problem, was the beginning of this intensification and the importation of breeds. But since then, crossbreeding with modern improved breeds is an issue because of domestic goats being discarded onto the hills and mixing with old Irish goats. But casual hunting, persecution and indiscriminate culls are having a frightening effect on the remaining pockets of goats. And given that extinction start and end locally, it really does need to be addressed, you know.
Because the study that was done, which was geneticists from Trinity College, Dublin, it was also a partnership, I think the Royal Society Biology Letters is where they published it. They kind of said that there's a high extinction rate amongst feral herds, and that has an impact on genetic variation, I understand.
It does.
So that, yeah, that we actually could lose out quite a lot of that valuable DNA because it would just die with the animals.
Exactly. And I suppose it's exacerbated as the years go by. And this study... because the fact that it speaks to their uniqueness, you know, it's such a valuable study, and we're just delighted that it's been published in this highly innovative, cutting edge journal, and that it supports the old Irish goat as being a distinct indigenous heritage breed.
Did you know the study was going on? Did they contact you, or how did that come about? Do you know?
It was a collaborative effort with Trinity College School of Genetics and the Old Irish Goat Society.
Of course.
Right, so it was recognised that in order to save the Old Irish Goat, they first had to prove that it existed.
I see.
Ironically. And they did this by taking DNA samples from historical specimens mounted heads in museums and things, one of which I believe dated back as far as 1845. And they compared these samples to the old Irish goats in Mulrani today and also with modern improved goats. And the findings revealed that the taxidermic specimens formed distinct groups that were joined by the Mulrani goats in clades, and that there was an undeniable link between these animals.
I see. So that is this the first time anything like that's been done?
It has. It's a groundbreaking study. Yeah.
It just shows you, doesn't it? It's like something that you take for granted. You know, particularly like the west of Ireland, there's a lot of money spent, I mean, in a good way, marketing and getting visitors, the Wild Atlantic Way, even in the program that was on TG Car and BBC over the weekend, showing the absolute stunning natural world in the west of Ireland. And yet, here we have this very fragile group of animals that are struggling, you know, that would be something, this group that people would want to come and see. I mean, it's extraordinary, that lineage that they have inside them, that could nearly go because of lack of I don't know, policy or people. It's great that you're involved in protecting them, but that's just that it's so touch and go. It's extraordinary.
That's exactly it. We really are at a critical point. And a lot of our efforts at the moment are based around, I suppose, securing the goats in locally. Because even though this study recognised that they're old Irish goats in Mulrani, it also confirmed that we can identify an old Irish goat by its look. And therefore, we can confirm that there are pockets of old Irish goats within feral herds or across the whole country. And that's why we're really reaching out, you know, and it's great to have your platform for that, to try and, I suppose, empower local communities for, you know, to protect their natural heritage and build capacity for communities and citizen scientists to apply their education and skill sets as guardians. So I suppose we would ask for anyone to make a contribution here, like even with hill walkers who might come across feral herds, to send us photos so that we may identify old Irish specimens and things like that.
How does it work with the land? I mean, I presume that's part of the issue, is that, you know, in the Burren you have a state-owned reserve, whereas that's kind of unusual. It's like for a place for these animals to live in a wild or feral way, that would be quite unusual in other parts of the country. Like how many places can goats exist like that?
Right, yeah, that is an issue that we have found to be a challenge. Now, we are working with national parks to manage their herds to be old Irish. And yeah, I suppose we're still in that process. But we're also working with semi-state agencies to try and protect the herds that are there. And of course, they're not just in national parks. Like you say, they're on commonage and, you know, in our forestry and things. So it's about reaching out and working together to secure our shared heritage.
How did you get involved yourself? What's your background?
My own background is a degree in environmental zoology and a master's in wildlife conservation and management. And I discovered the society and realized that the skills are very transferable because the goat is in a feral state. The same rules apply as do with wildlife. And actually, that is part of the problem. It seems as though the goat has fallen in between agricultural and environmental spheres.
Oh, right. Because in a weird way, it's sort of a similar thing that happens with pets, is that they don't get studied to a certain extent, that kind of maybe wild, inverted commas, animals do, because they're so close to us.
Exactly. And in that sense, they can be kind of, I suppose, taken for granted. You know, and we do see this in our policy. The old Irish goat isn't actually afforded protection under the Heritage Act, even though it's living heritage, and the Wildlife Act, even though they're essentially a wild animal in a feral state. We need to speak more to genetic resources in our policy. And we are aware as a society that we're honouring and demonstrating Ireland's international commitments to conserving genetic resources, as outlined in the Interlaken Declaration and Agenda 21.
So what are the things that you want to see happen, that change? Is it on a policy level? Is it a kind of, where are the best things that can help these animals, or the best ways to go forward?
Right, so certainly at a policy level, because the effect of policy and policy implementation, will afford protection to the animal. And to go back to the DNA study, that's why we're so delighted with the results, because we are now, as of the last 2 weeks, in formal discussions with the department to afford them rare breed status and identify them as a unique Irish breed.
And do you think that wouldn't have happened without this DNA study?
The DNA, I suppose it's rooted in scientific evidence, and
right.
It's very, I suppose that is very much valued today, and we're delighted to have it confirm, I suppose, what the society knew already from looking at historic paintings of these goats that look exactly the same as the old Irish goats that we have today, and looking at our literature and poetry, you know, they're so ingrained in our culture. So what we have is we've looked at the historicity of the animal, and that's been backed up by the genetic studies. So it's great to have that.
Do you know what character the goats have? Do you have any sense of what they're like as personalities?
Well, I suppose I can tell you that they're exceptionally intelligent and very charismatic and quite gentle. It's funny, when we first brought them into domesticity for our breeding program, we were quite struck by how quickly they adapted to being in a domestic setting. And I suppose it made us think of how important it is to bring the old Irish goat back into domesticity and back into small holding, because they really are quite a gentle creature. Now, I will say that, you know, a few of my colleagues have had to wrestle them in and out of pens, and, you know, and they are strong, you know, and there is a dangerous element to that. But, you know, really, when they're left to themselves to be this domestic animal that has a routine of being milked and handled, that comes out in them, and it was always there, you know.
Do they produce a lot of milk?
They do, actually. I understand from being informed by our researcher, Ray Werner, who is a rare breeds conservationist and environmentalist, that it has a very high fat content, you know, so that it would be quite nutritious, especially because of the wide range of growth that they forage on. And I understand that is one of the reasons why maybe it doesn't aggravate allergies like cow's milk might or other milk, you know. Now, I suppose we are not at a point in the society yet where we have had the pleasure of exploring that side of things, but we're very interested to working in partnership with people who are interested in setting up artisan food products. And things, and we'd be very happy to, you know, to collaborate on that side of things.
Because what a marketing thing that would be.
Wouldn't it?
Because for smallholders in Ireland, they sound like a breed that would really suit a smallholding, especially if you mightn't be on the most amazing land, that you'd have an animal that could adapt so well and to be able to fit in so well with what you can provide for them.
Exactly, and you know, we have learned from looking into the breed, and indeed all rare indigenous breeds, that they exhibit traits such as disease resistance, and you know, they are undeniably a hardy animal, and therefore, you know, not only are they useful as a tourism asset for the future, and even a conservation grazing asset, but also as a food security measure in a time of farming intensification and climate change.
Because it really does boggle my mind that there's so few of them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you were mentioning earlier about getting other people involved to identify them, because you mentioned also that you can tell them, you can look and see, and that's an old Irish goat just by the way they look.
Exactly. That's the message that we're trying to get out there.
Because the genetics show up in their physical appearance.
Exactly.
It's very easy.
They're very much linked.
You don't have to be a goat expert.
No. I suppose it is a little bit more involved in that we do measure the animals, because we have developed a specific breed standard down to the centimetre.
Oh, okay.
that can definitively identify an old Irish goat, but we can tell by looking at them on the mountainside, and we'd be very happy, you know, to work with people who are aware of feral herds to identify the old Irish goats there.
So have you identified any, like, or have you heard of any in Wicklow or Meath or, you know, anywhere else?
Right, so I suppose, we have different members of the organization dotted around the country. I suppose it comes back to the fact that we're predominantly a voluntary community-led group, and we're struggling to try and execute this project on our own, and that's why we're calling out for assistance, because we do need to assess these feral herds in Wicklow and basically all the mountain ranges and where you can find deer and places like that, in order to, I suppose, determine the actual amount of old Irish goats that remain.
So even in the Dublin Mountains there could be old Irish goats lurking.
there could, you know, there could be a refuge.
So people want to get involved. You don't have to be in, you know, the West. You can actually be on the East Coast too.
Exactly. Yes.
And so if people want to, like, is there different things that you need from the volunteers?
Well, I suppose if people could get in touch through our website, which is www.oldirishgoatsociety.com, and we also have a Facebook page, Old Irish Goat Society, we could take it from there, because the project itself is so wide-ranging that there's so many different skill sets that people could apply to this project in order to help.
And the goats themselves... You just mentioned at the beginning, and I meant to get back to it. It's about the culling. What's that about? What happens? Why would they be culled?
It's a difficult thing to understand from you know, a point of view, but I suppose they do need to be managed in order to just have the correct amount of number for the carrying capacity of the site that they are on, and that's very understandable.
Oh, so it's for the health of the herd?
For the health of the herd and the health of the environment, so we can understand that. But it's the indiscriminate culling that is an issue, because old Irish goats can be, culled in that regard, you know. So that is why we are trying to get the word out there that the old Irish goat is still here, as confirmed by the DNA study.
Yes. Well, congratulations on that. And so if people want to get involved, there's lots of different skill sets you're looking for, so they could just email you, go on your Facebook and have a look at what you're doing, have a look at the pictures of the goats even.
Definitely, some beautiful photos. They're so photogenic.
And would you encourage people to post pictures on your Facebook page, or would you prefer to have them by email?
Whichever is most convenient to people. We'd just be delighted to hear from people.
Excellent. So between policy and activism, hopefully these goats will be saved.
Hopefully.
Are you optimistic?
I am optimistic. I am optimistic, but that doesn't take from the challenge that is in front of us.
Indeed. Okay. So no, that thanks very much for coming on to talk to us. But this is amazing. It's an amazing thing to have these wild goats.
It is, you know, and we're lucky to have them, you know, because I suppose in relation to your question, Ireland has lost a number of its native breeds in the last two decades, which includes the Clydor sheep, the Tory cow, the Roscommon sheep, and the Brindle cow, practically. And that's why it's such at such a crucial point, the project. And that's why we have our breeding program in place, and that's why we're hoping to hear from your listeners.
God, that's actually a really grim warning. That would make you sit up and take notice that we have lost these animals. We do not have them anymore. They're gone.
Right, yes, and that it's not really that well known that this has happened. Yeah.
Yeah, and it really does need to be talked about, and people need to get involved. Don't just watch the nature on the television. Do something if it's all gone.
Yeah, so this is what I found with the society. It gave me a fantastic opportunity to contribute. You know, so, that's the same for everybody.
Well, thanks very much, Maeve, for coming on today. Really appreciate you taking the time out to talk to us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
So we're just coming up to the end of the show. My name is Valerie Vetter. Thanks so very much for listening. I want to thank Sam Shepherd on sound today. Maeve, as she said, you can find lots of information on oldirishgoatsociety.com or via their Facebook page, and you can email them with photographs of old Irish goats. And if you go on to their Facebook page or website, you can actually see what she's talking about. They're very distinctive, very regal looking animals. So a podcast of the show will be available via dublincityfm.ie and the show's Facebook page, Animal Talk Radio Show.